Well, if you haven't guessed it by now, I'm a teacher. I teach school, so that probably gave it away. But before I start, this morning we are having our quiet time and our devotional time. We heard about the brothers and sisters that came in from New York, and we heard a little bit about the problem that they had with some documents or not having certain documents. And I could relate to that because when I got to the airport yesterday, I didn't have my birth certificate. And so I sympathize with you. But the thing is that when you guys came, and you're coming because you're coming to worship the Lord, and you're coming to seek the Lord, and then there was a sympathetic heart there, from what I understood, that freely let you guys come across here. And it reminded me of the prophet Daniel. When Daniel had set his heart to seek the Lord, and he asked, because, gee whiz, you know, I don't want to eat this food, it's going to defile me. He found a sympathetic heart in the commander of the eunuchs, who said, I don't know if I could do this, but when he saw that Daniel was really set on pleasing the Lord, he said, well, okay. And he let him through, and because of that, you know, the Lord did bless. In the same way, the Lord opens up ways, and we are seeking him to come and meet us. And so let's turn our hearts to the Lord right now. Lord Jesus, I do want to thank you that you have called us to yourself because you want to make yourself known to us. And Lord, I know when you come in, you sit down, you see a lot of things written on a board. It could be discouraging, but Lord, these things we sang about you lighting a fire. I pray that these things up here will be sticks of kindling so you can light a fire that you want and can fan a flame and do what you want to through this week that we're here. Lord, I pray that in no way that I will hinder your speaking because of who I am, and I would hide myself in the Lord Jesus. Now I pray that you just take your word and minister it to our hearts. Lord, breathe on it, make it your own, and speak personally to each one of us. For I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to do during these three times that I'm going to speak here is I'm going to be speaking as a base from Joshua. I'm not going to cover the book of Joshua, but I'm going to use some verses from Joshua. And I just want to let you know why I chose Joshua. The Lord put Joshua in my heart because Joshua was in a place where he was coming into the land, and the promises of what God had for him. And you, in the same way, are coming into, on your own, you're reaching that age where you are no longer those that are children, that are coming into being adults. Now, you're doing that physically, but in the same way, there's a spiritual coming into adulthood also. And so that's what we want to look at. Now, I want to read a couple of verses from Joshua and expand on that a little bit, and then we'll get into these things. In Joshua chapter 1, in verse 2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And then in verse 8, which is my theme for this morning, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, as we are seeking to come into a spiritual adulthood, we cannot come into it through our parents. Our parents can't bring us into adulthood. And you know, that's true even in a physical sense. I have two daughters, and one of my daughters, my oldest daughter, she's just coming into high school, and I can't make her an adult, and believe me, I've been trying to over the summer, but she has to come into a place on her own You can't be pushed into it. She can't be pulled into it. It has to be a maturing thing on her own, that where she really comes into her own adulthood. And the same with us. We can't expect other people to pull us into spiritual adulthood or to spiritual maturity. When Joshua came to this place here, Moses was dead. Now Moses, for 40 years, had led the Israelites through the wilderness. They had become a people who had just trusted in his everything he was doing, because he had this connection with God that none of the others had. And so they had come to trust him and figured that whatever they needed, they always went to Moses. Snakes are biting us, let's go to Moses. Oh, we need bread, let's go to Moses. Oh, we're thirsty, let's go to Moses. And so they had come to depend on Moses, but now Moses is dead. And it's the same thing for us. We have to think that, you know, people that have pushed us up to this part or brought us and nourished us up to this part, their time is finished now. And now it's our time, because God wants to get us on our own. And so he brings Joshua to the part. Before they cross over the Jordan River, he brings them there. He goes, we're going in. Moses is dead, but you're going in. Now, today we want to look at, and tomorrow we want to look at our coming in to spiritual adulthood, our coming in to maturity. And then on the last time I share, I want to talk about once we start to get there, how to stand there. And that's what the Lord put on my heart for this time. But this morning, coming into what the Lord, coming into to maturity, I think it starts with this verse in Joshua 1, verse 8, and it has to do with the Word of God. And you can see I've written all these nice little things up here. But when we look at the Word of God, it is an integral part in our life as Christians. Now, I know we say, yeah, I know that, you know, we read the Bible and stuff. But we want to take a look at it as far as, you know, we feel like this is one of the things that Christians do. Right? Yeah. Do you read the Bible? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Of course I read the Bible. Okay? But on the other hand, this is something also that God wants us to do, because it's through this that we come to draw near. Remember I shared yesterday out of Psalm 32, it says, come near. There's an understanding. So we want an understanding of what is it? Why is the Word of God so important to us? So there's nothing here that I'm going to share with you that is new. There is no new revelation I'm going to give you. But what I have is just that these things are to give us an understanding in what the Lord is desiring for us. So let's take a look at these things. I can straighten out my little cards here. There we go. Okay, in John chapter 1, I wrote these up here so that I wouldn't have to be telling you and waiting you all to turn and such, and you don't need to turn to them. You can read them later, but I will read them to you. And it starts out with chapter 1, verse 1. I'm in 1 John. There we go. I'm not nervous. I'm okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, the first part of it, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Now, the purpose of God giving us his Word, he's given it to us for a purpose. And the first and foremost purpose is that he wants to reveal himself to us. This is the utmost thing in the Word of God. He has given it to reveal himself to us. He shows what he's like. If you read the scriptures, you see how God acts. You see how God feels. You see what he desires. And, you know, Philip, I think, said to the Lord Jesus, he said, you know, just show us the Father. It's enough. And the Lord Jesus said to Philip, you know, have I been with you so long that you haven't seen? That you know the Father's in me? That when you see me, you see the Father? Well, it's the same thing when we look at the Word. It's not just these words on a page. But in it, there's the revelation of God to our hearts. And this is a revelation that we need, because this is how God's going to make himself real to us. But it's not just this word alone. Okay, if you just put these things and have them stand by themselves, that is not enough. Because just to have God reveal to us is just to say, well, I know stuff about God. We, as a teacher, we used to we used to do standardized testing. And the kids would say, you know, well, what are you teaching? Or what did you learn? Oh, we learned a bunch of stuff. And you know, I poured my heart out for you. You know, I get a stuff. Well, it's the same thing here. Sometimes, you know, if we just leave it to ourselves, we just know a lot of stuff. And stuff is nothing. It's just stuff. You know, you put stuff in a closet. You put stuff in an attic. Just leave it there. And what's in your attic? Oh, it's a bunch of stuff. And sometimes the Word of God can just be stuff to us. But you have to realize that in it is the revelation of God, and the revelation of God is meant for something. It's not meant just to stand by itself. When you go home, sometimes you guys, I see you guys taking notes. That always trips me out when I see people taking notes, because I know what I do with notes that I take from conferences. They go on a shelf. Once in a while I look at them, but they become stuff for me. So, you know, it can't stand alone. It's meant for something. Now, why does God reveal himself to us? Is there some purpose for his revealing himself to us? Well, let's look at another scripture here in Romans chapter 10. And verse 17. Now, you have to take this in the context that it's given. Paul is talking about the preaching of the gospel and how will people know about the gospel. And in verse 17 it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So another purpose for God giving us his word is that it would inspire us to have faith in him. Now let me explain a little bit about what I mean by faith. Faith doesn't mean that we just believe. Oh yeah, I believe that. I believe that's true. God's one. I believe God can do that. But faith is like this. Now, you guys are all sitting in chairs, right? Okay. We could say that if we looked at this, and please bear with me in this illustration, you could look at that chair and say, it's been revealed to me. This chair has been revealed to me, and I know the nature of this chair. I can tell you everything about this chair. Look, it's got metal legs, and if I can be so bold here. Look at the welds on that. These are tremendous welds. It tells you of the strength this chair has, and the way how it distributes its legs, it makes it able to hold the weight over the whole section of the chair. And then for comfort, so you can rest comfortably in it, it's made so it kind of just goes a little back, just a little bit. And that's great. So I can know the nature of that chair. But what good is that nature of that chair if I'm tired and I just go, well, I just know the nature of that chair. It's a wonderful chair. You can use to sit in it, and you can have rest by sitting in it. That's a wonderful chair. Well, you just know the nature of the chair. Faith. It's when you sit down in the chair and you understand that everything of the nature of the chair is true. I don't see any one of you worried about falling over in your chair. First of all, because none of you are tipping them. And second of all, because you have complete confidence that chair will hold you. Now, for some of you, you might think, well, that person's a lightweight anyway. But you know, here I am. I'm a tenth of the ton. That sounds really heavy, doesn't it? But I'm a tenth of a ton, and I had no problem sitting in that chair this morning. And that's what faith is. God wants you to have, to not just know the chair, but he wants you to experience the chair. And in the same way, when he reveals himself to you, it's not just so that you know about him, but he wants to bring you into an experience of him. And so the word kindles. When we read things about the Lord, and then we come into a situation of in our life, the Lord quickens something and says, you know, remember this? And then we say, if he did it there, has he changed? Now, another thing about this chair, I don't think all the way since we're here, well, we'll be here, that these chairs are going to change one iota. No one's going to come in here and paint them. No one's going to take a leg off. They're going to be the same every time we're here. And so when we know God, we also know that he's the same. His revelation is the same. So we can trust him. So the thing is, he wants us to trust him. He wants us to experience that he is faithful. He wants us to experience his nature for ourselves. And so he has not left us in saying, just know about me, but experience me also. And a lot of times, that's the part of our Christian life that we leave out. We make it a religion, not an experiencing of the living God. Next, and I want to lump these two together. I learned from anybody count me? I've got seven. I learned that from A.W. Pink. Okay, A.W. Pink usually goes in seven. Makes 7 points, because I guess that's a spiritual thing to do. So I had my 7 points there. In 1 Peter chapter 2, all of them are very familiar verses. It says, as we know our days, desire the pure and noble word that you may grow in our lives. So in other words, the purpose of the word of God for us is that it is a spiritual food. It is to feed our spirit. It is to feed the new man. Now, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word. He's saying that the form of the verses of the kingdom of God, one of the verses of the man is not a word by bread alone, but by every word that we feed from the mouth of God. You know, the Lord, when we became born again, before we were born again, our spirits would be dead. But when we were born again, our spirits would be quickened and brought alive again. But anything that is brought alive, that life needs to be sustained. It needs food. So when children come into the world, when you become a person, they feed you. I don't give you a favor or something like that. They give you a little thing. You get them in the jail with us. You get older and warm. You get older and you get them in the whole thing. The thing is, it's food for you. And if you don't, it means that the direct key by what happens to it. It becomes weak. And if it's weak, then it will become sick. So the Lord said, I'll give you a the food. You need to see the life that I've given you. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, that you need to be strengthened in the inner man. See how the word is about the outer man. And as you come to it, you're supposed to be a spiritual being. You should come to the place that there's not one of the outer man where the word is about. And as you're in the soul, And so we need to do the same thing. We need to feed it. We need to feed the spirit of man. So we don't only need to feed it. Okay, the next point here is in Acts chapter 20. And Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders, and he's leading them. And in verse 32, he says, "So now, brethren, I commend you, for I entrust you to God and to the Lord of His grace, which is able to build you up." And I want to stop there. So, another purpose for God giving us His word is to build us up. Now, some of you guys work with not working on the outside, but you want to build yourself up. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. We have to be built up. It's interesting to me, you want Luke says something that we believe in, and we believe that we want someone to be, you know,
And in verse 133, I'm sure this is the verse that people all memorize. But it says, direct my step by your word. So no purpose for the Lord giving us his word. This is the direct my step to God. And I'm not saying that, you know, for all the words that I do today, you know, that just these little things. But I'm talking about the direction of our life. Where is the direction of our life? Because the Word gives us direction in our life, for our life. And so all of my guides in my mind. Everything will be done. I come off of that once and then come back and just a little bit better. So we're also looking at when you look for God, if you ever panic, you're kind of really helpful to see things. And then all of a sudden,
because what had happened in the moment that we had to survive, he started admitting himself to those things that he wants that he no longer needs. And the same with us, the word will be hidden in our hearts. If we take it into our hearts, we will not live in us. So when we come to situations, the world will be that we would say, you know, you can do that. You can have a little bit of a relationship. And so the liberty now, that's when the mouth of the Lord now is to say, yes, it's not. I believe that the only way is that we don't sin in this situation. We keep this relationship with the Lord. That's all that we do. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, and then in Ephesians chapter 5, the last day of the beginning of time. In verse 26, it says, no, let's start with verse 25. The presence of the wife that is part of all the relationships he gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, an unspotted angel, for the end of the sin, that she should be holy and without blemish. So, the Lord cleanses us, not only cleanses us with the sanctity, but the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. I don't want to defend it now, but I think it's better than looking at it this way. The word transformed us. You can see here, if we're going to start off at 3:26, we really have an idea of the watching of the Lord, and the watching of the Lord. So we're going to have a 27, because if he might defend himself, not having this proper angel, which means what? He must have a proper angel. And so therefore, he wants to send it to his own soul. And so he gives the word to transform us. And that's why I said in the Roman chapter 12, in verse 2, that it will transform us out of the renewing of our mind. And so, we take the word in and we think about it, we live it, our mind in it, we do it, and how that we do it, we are transformed from an old to a new creation. You see the old and often the same as the new one, but it's just the old and the new one. And we are transformed by the loss of the world of the word. So if we are believing in God, you have none. So now that we know that the beauty of purpose is God has given us his word to us, the next thing is, what are we to do? And I put this question to the guy, I thought it was the message. Now, what do we do with this word? Well, we went back to John, and John was chapter 1. It says, this book shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. So what do we do?
I'm not saying that, you know, you're intellect should be, you're not a lady. But I am saying
is an intellect. No, he wants to use that intellect. He said that intellect is like this. How many of you guys, the point when you're eating, you do not choose your food? You need to put it like a form of just swallowing.
Before you go to the
because I think about it, you need to know. And we started talking about it with each other. But tell me that you really thought about all the things you wanted to so if you decide something, you don't know what happened, you just heard it coming, and so I was like, you're out of here, and you need to get this mile, and so if you decide, you talk about it, and you know, it's good, 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 and really, that was the world again. The world was then, I had a good idea to do this for the first time. You realize you're so transformed and changed, the thing that I have to do is so wonderful. And that we ran to a few stones over the ground for us, and now we'll get to set up in the world. Hello, Father, I do want to thank you that you have given everything that we need. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you have given to us your word. And Lord, I'm asking that the reason why you've been in the word will be your very thing on your own mind. That we will be able to see that why you came in, that Lord, it's on the opposite. The world doesn't have a second on our mind. The world of our world. That if we do what you want to do with the word, we will be able to see and ask us. That will put the word in the mouth of the world. And you will create in us and one other thing. Lord, we want to be able to do it.